the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on the Rood Guest Hotline, Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. From CBS Sports, our guy, Joel Corey. Joel, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today.
What's up, Joel?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Let's get into this Terry McLaurin contract situation. We've heard from a couple national reporters now that things aren't going swimmingly between the two parties. I think that's kind of, you know, agent agitation. You don't hear, you know, those complaints kind of usually coming from teams where, things aren't going well. But what do you think the difference is? Where's the gap? And how close do you think they are to being reasonably done?
Well, on the surface, it should be an easy deal to do because Terry, Pro Bowl receiver, second team All-Pro last year. The big problem is he was an old rookie, redshirted, spent 5 years in college, 24-year-old rookie, turns 30 in September. All the guys at the top of the market were either signing off of their rookie contract or they're at least 2 years younger. So that's the big problem. The three is the first digit in his age. We're seeing that's a problem in Cincinnati with Trey Hendrickson, that they want to do a short-term commitment, but they don't want to go the longer-term commitment in that case. So age is really a big issue in this case.
So, Joel, the one thing that I saw you write about in the article at CBSSports.com, comping it to the Tyreek Hill extension with the Miami Dolphins, when essentially he was getting, you know, $30 million per, but he got $54 million guaranteed at signing. Do you think that is a more realistic comp than the DK Metcalf numbers that have been thrown around here?
That's a hard comp because that was a unique situation that he was under contract for 3 years because the way his contract was structured, that he was never going to play out the end. It just had a big number and salary for that purpose. They essentially ripped it up and gave your deal. Tyreek did it when it was free. If I'm Terry's camp, my whole thing is I arguably had my best year. They would say he had his best year in 2024. I am not slowing down, so age shouldn't be a concern or an issue in this negotiation. So they're going to look more to DK Metcalf for that reason and one other. DK Metcalf was in his same draft class, mm-hmm. 2019. He declared early, as opposed to playing 5 years like Terry did. And if you looked at the stats over the 5 years, they favored Terry, and particularly last year, DK Metcalf didn't have 1,000 yards. But DK Metcalf has something you can't find at receiver. 6'3", 230 pounds, great speed. Those physical traits don't grow on trees. So that isn't necessarily a spot-on comp for a variety of reasons.
Joel Corey with us here on Grant and Danny Linnell in for GP, CBS Sports, salary cap and contract expert. Kind enough to join us to break down this Terry McLaurin situation. So, Joel, taking personality and what he's meant to the team, obviously he's been through multiple regimes, been productive despite some pretty adverse circumstances. But just playing cutthroat GM for a second, tell me where I'm off base on this. I would say the franchise tag next year is $28 million. The franchise tag the year after that, if we do it a second time, is 120% of that, roughly $33. I got you under contract for this year, 2 more years. I don't want to meet an escalated asking price over that. Why wouldn't I just do that, you know, sort of take your chances, and I could offer you a contract that's reflective of that, maybe a little more to sweeten the pot, but not going up to some of these other numbers when I've got a little more leverage here. Where am I off base?
A little off base on the franchise tag number. It's actually going to be slightly over 30 with the way the 120% calculation.
So next year it'll be over that? Okay.
It's performed. Yeah, but same concept, that if you don't want to meet his asking price, you don't want to make the longer-term commitment, then you would go to year-to-year. The problem is, what carry are you going to get if he has to play out his contract? Sometimes guys in contract years, it affects them. Sometimes it doesn't. We don't know in this particular case because he never seen him in a contract year having to perform. But that being said, you're not going to get a deal done, in my opinion, if you are going to keep not reflect he's the number one receiver. The two distinct markets, number one receiver, number two receiver. On this team, he's the number one receiver. He's your primary target. The top of the number two market is T. Higgins. T. Higgins would be a number one receiver a lot of other places, just not in Cincinnati. He signed a four-year extension, a lot younger. I think he's 26, averaging $28.75 million per year. So if you're not going to top that number, I don't think there's any deal that Terry McLaurin is going to consider.
Joel, the other holdup in this, and I guess this is me asking you, is it more about the guaranteed money, do you think, for Terry, or is it about the AAV?
It's probably a combination of all the things. In DK Metcalf's contract, he had $60 million fully guaranteed at signing. The last 20 guarantees are kind of meaningless because they're injury guarantees. Pittsburgh traditionally doesn't guarantee a lot of money in veteran contracts. They've only done it for three players. Nick Fitzpatrick was no longer there. T.J. Watt was the first, and now Metcalf getting guarantees in the second year. So, he's going to want comparable guarantees. He's probably going to want decent cash flow. You do have a deal that he's done before. You can use a blueprint if you're going to do it, if you're talking three-year extension, and just use that kind of structure is the guide for a new deal if you can agree upon what the actual total dollars would be on the extension.
So, Joel, you've been in these negotiations before, and you know so much about this from kind of both sides of the table. What is the team arguing, or are they? Like, how is this negotiation going, and why are the only things that we're hearing at this point about how far apart they are?
Yeah. Well, the only time you hear someone so far apart, it's obviously the agent side because they're trying to put public pressure on the team to get to a point that the team doesn't want to go. So teams typically don't leak. This player is asking way too much money. It's typically that's when the player's trying to use what he can to apply some sort of pressure. It's still kind of early. I know training camp starts in about 2 weeks. It will be interesting to see what Terry would do if there's not a deal done by then. Would he hold out? That's $50,000 per day for each training camp day he's not there. And that's a mandatory fine. Or would he hold in where he shows up to avoid the fine, participates on a very limited basis or not at all, and does just classroom work until there's a deal done. I think the time to be concerned is as we start getting middle of the preseason, mid-August, if there's not a deal done, then maybe you should really be a little more concerned than today.
Joel, I would have had several heart attacks by that point. If it drags that far out, let me ask you this, I guess. The longer it goes, do you think it decreases the likelihood of it getting done?
Not necessarily, because we've seen situations each year where it drags out and eventually they get done. Adam Peters comes from a team where,
that's true,
up until this year, they dragged out everything. Last year, San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk held in. That was done late. Trent Williams held out. That was done late. Nick Bosa, when Adam was still there, that was done late. Debo had some issues. It got done a few days into training camp. So, this is kind of the nature of the beast.
What timetable would make the most sense? Just kind of nailing that down here. Like, I just, to me, at the CBA, the way it's set up, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, Joel, but it's just not incentivized for players to hold out and get fined, and they need to be there to recruit the service time. If they want to change that, they should talk to their union rep, which I want to get to in a second too with you, by the way, about what's going on at the highest levels. But what timetable makes the most sense to you?
Start a training camp is ideal because then Terry's there. You're getting him for the full benefit to try to build upon the success of last year. But he's a multi-year vet. He probably knows how long it takes for him to get ready to play and to have a successful season. The longer this thing drags on, the one thing you have to worry about is some sort of soft tissue injury, because we've seen that time and time again where there's a contract dispute which drags on. The player has a soft tissue injury and he's out 2-3 or more or multiple games because of some sort of hamstring injury or quad injury, groin or whatever he has.
Joel, I know people aren't going to want to hear this, and we're still a ways away from this. I understand. What would be the trade value for Terry McLaurin if it got...
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? the three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Up to that point.
Well, you got to look at the DK Metcalf trade as something you'd have to, which would be in the ballpark. That was essentially a second-round pick. The problem is Redskins are trying to win now. If you're going to trade him, you need to do it before the draft so you could get someone who could come in, you could replace him, draft pick. You don't have anyone on the roster who can effectively do what Terry does. I know you traded for Deebo Samuel, but he hasn't been highly productive since 2021, which was his last contract year, so I have my reservations about him. I don't see a scenario where they're going to trade him because they're trying to win and get to a Super Bowl this year.
Give our guy Joel Corey a follow, at Corey Joel on the old Twitterverse. Joel, quick gear shift here, but I can think of no one better to explain to the people what the hell's going on. NFLPA and the NFL, we've got some shenanigans, tomfoolery, maybe even you could call it ballyhoo at the highest levels. I guess there's a vote now taking place about what to do with union leadership. Catch people up as to what's going on.
This all stems from the collusion case that was brought because of quarterbacks not getting fully guaranteed contracts after Deshaun Watson. There was a decision which the arbitrator made in January, which said that the NFL tried to encourage collusion, but did not actually engage in collusion. There was an agreement between union leadership and the NFL to keep that ruling secret. Pablo Torre and Mike Florio, to their efforts, got a copy of the 61-page decision. It paints the NFL. It's not a good look for the NFL. It's also not a good look for union leadership not to try to weaponize this and use it for players. Then it comes out that today, which is almost as bad, that there's a conflict of interest with the executive director, Lloyd Howe, that he works for he's doing some consulting for a company which has ties to the NFL. If you are the union head of the union, that should be a full-time job. You shouldn't be moonlighting. It shouldn't be any type of company which has any type of NFL ties. So, yeah, if I'm an agent, one, I would have liked to have had that agreement in January, or you could discuss it with us at the annual seminar with agents at the Combine so I could have it going into free agency. If I'm players, why is the union keeping us in the dark? So, yeah, there's a lot to discuss, and the more stuff that comes out, this isn't it. It's going to take two-thirds of the player rep board to change union leadership. Well, we could be headed in that direction.
Wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like it's one of those stories that is, I think, kind of under the radar for the general public here as well. But that is a major, major shakeup there. Joel, awesome as always, buddy.
Thanks,
Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.